Friends in Need, this is Tom.
Hi, Tom. I think I smoked too much heroin.
Tell me what happened.
Well, I was at my buddy Joe's house, and he had some stuff, and we smoked just a tiny bit at first, you know, just to get high, and it was so good. We just kept smoking more and more, and now I think I smoked too much because I'm, like, totally freaking out.
You said you were at your friend's house.
Yeah, Joe, at his house.
Okay, where's Joe now?
That's the thing. I think I may have killed Joe and made a full bodysuit out of his skin.
Excuse me?
I woke up all covered in blood, and I seem to be wearing Joe like a scuba suit made from his skin, man. Oh, Jesus, man.
Okay, and you think this happened because you were high?
Yeah, man. I think I may have killed my best friend. There's blood everywhere.
And is there a chance someone like your friend Joe isn't just playing a trick on you?
Dude, Joe's skinless and bloody corpse is lying on the kitchen floor at my feet, and I woke up with a carving knife in one hand and a sewing kit in the other.
I'm sorry, that's my other line. Hold on.
Wait!
Friends in Need, this is Tom.
Dude, it's me.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Friends in Need, this is Tom.
Dude, it's me.
Damn, hold on.
Wait, are you calling yourself from your cell phone?
Maybe.
Look, I need to talk to someone.
Crap, I just spilled coffee on my suede pants.
Dude, Wait, who wears suede pants?
Hey, who's talking? You're wearing your best friend like a Halloween costume.
Look, I'm freaking out, man. I killed Joe.
And what do you want me to do about it?
I want some help. I need some advice.
Okay, next time you do drugs, don't kill your friend and wear his skin.
Don't kill your friend and wear his skin? Is that it? Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm sorry. It's my first day here.
Look, is there someone else there I can talk to?
No. We're very short-staffed.
Can you help me or not?
All right. Take Joe's skin off of your body and sew it back onto his.
That's it? That's your advice?
I don't know what to tell you. I've never done this before.
Hold on. Dude, is that a vibrator?
Yeah.
I'm standing here wearing my dead best friend's skin and you're using a vibrator on yourself? You sick fucking bastard.
Kinda makes you feel better about yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I don't feel like the biggest wacko on the phone call.
You're welcome.
Dude, you're the best. I'm gonna go, okay, and see if I can slip out of here before the cops come. Thanks so much, man.
Call anytime. Friends in Need, this is Tom.
You're listening to The Dangerous Mind of Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov. No excuses, no BS, no pants.
So what the fuck is going on? You know, a couple of you reached out to me to tell me how much you dug the track that I played in the last show. You know, when I went to this funny little music college in Boston called Berklee, there was this one guy there that you just knew was going to make it. He was in a couple of my classes, and the dude just had loads of obvious talent. He had the look, he had the hair, and this was in the late 1980s, when half of all record deals were given to acts who were more talented follically than musically. He also had this intangible energy around him. I guess what you'd call star quality. His name, Kevin Gilbert. Now, Kevin left Berklee after that year. His prog rock band, Giraffe, won this big Battle of the Bands contest that Yamaha sponsored. And even though Giraffe never really took off, Kevin ended up collaborating with Patrick Leonard, the keyboard player and bandleader for this chick you may have heard of named Madonna. And Leonard and Gilbert recorded the classic Toy Matinee album, probably the greatest underappreciated rock record of the early 1990s. Well, despite great songwriting, production, and being brilliant as all fuck, Toy Matinee didn't really take off either. Now, Kevin was hooked into the LA music scene by this time and started producing bands. On the side, he and some friends got together every Tuesday night to jam and write tunes with a revolving roster of established session cats and talented up-and-comers. Among them was the young ingenue, Sheryl Crow, who went on to become Kevin's girlfriend right about the same time that he produced her demo using the same musicians from his, drumroll please, Tuesday Night Music Club. Stop me if this sounds familiar. Now, long story short, Cheryl got a record deal, mostly on the strength of the song, All I Wanna Do, which was written by, you guessed it, Kevin Gilbert. However, Cheryl and the evil douchebags at her record company decided for whatever reason that Kevin was not to be included in this deal. So after fucking him, Sheryl Crow fucked him over. And I'm sure this must have made for an awkward moment as she went on to win the Grammy Award for the song that he wrote for her. Now, Kevin recorded his solo work, in which you can hear some distinct bitterness. And it was obvious his own demons pretty much ate at him while he watched his former squeeze and protege skyrocket to stardom. And around this time, Genesis frontman Phil Collins had decided to go solo full-time. And you have to understand, Genesis had been Kevin Gilbert's favorite band since childhood. He'd made several appearances singing their music, most notably at a big prog rock event called Progfest, where his flawless rendition of the entire album The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway brought down the fucking house like a kiloton bomb. Now, when he heard of Phil Collins' departure, what Kevin Gilbert wanted more than anything was an audition to be the new leader of Genesis. He had his people call their people, it was all in the works. But as often is the case with things in the works, it was taking forever and ever. Then one day the call came. The remaining members of Genesis and their management phoned Kevin's manager to arrange for him to fly to London for an audition. Kevin's voice and his songwriting chops were a perfect match for what they needed. Everyone was so excited. There was just one problem. Kevin Gilbert had been pronounced dead just a few hours earlier. Cause of death? Autoerotic asphyxiation. The world was denied ever finding out what amazing things Kevin Gilbert and Genesis would do together because of a sexual fetish gone horribly wrong. Now, if you aren't familiar with this particular bit of odd masturbatory behavior, you are not alone. Autoerotic asphyxiation, simply put, is when you choke yourself along with your chicken, jacking off while you temporarily cut off your oxygen flow, mostly by tying around your neck some kind of belt, scarf, clothesline, or in rare cases, Hello Kitty jump rope. And why, oh why, you ask, would someone want to strangle themselves while spanking it? Okay, technically speaking, when you compress those big carotid arteries on either side of your neck and stop that flow of oxygen-rich blood up to your brain, you will experience a feeling of giddy lightheadedness. Couple this with the pleasure usually associated with masturbation, I say usually because I'm not sure how you do it, and the sensation of orgasm is heightened. This is all thanks to a semi-hallucinogenic state called hypoxia, in which your brain floods itself with endorphins and dopamine, and add the feeling of orgasm into the mix, and the rush experienced by the autoerotic asphyxiator has been described as being as powerful as cocaine, and no less addictive. Wow, right? Blacking out when you come. I used to do that, but in my case, it had less to do with autoerotic asphyxiation than it did with alcoholism. But I get it. Choking yourself while masturbating gets you high. I mean, hey. Jerking off until you lose consciousness was the national pastime of my teenage years. Oxygen deprivation makes masturbation feel better? Last I checked, it feels pretty good on its own. Are autoerotic asphyxiators just asking for too much of a good thing? Look, I get it when I drive my car fast and hard, but mostly fast. I get a certain thrill, a rush, so to speak. I could rev it up more, maybe add a little nitrous oxide. But why would I need to make it faster? To make it more thrilling? Lack of oxygen kills brain cells. Dead brain cells make you dumber. So I guess dumb people enjoy sex more? I guess that's why those chicks on the Jersey Shore like to bang so much. Hey, I'm not fucking around. I bet you there's a Nobel Prize in this for me. Because of how dangerous it is, I'm going to suggest some safer things you can do to make masturbation more fun, without the risk of dying in a humiliating manner. 1. Masturbate outside. What could be more electrifying than the fear of getting caught? Just stay 1,000 yards from a school or nursing home and you should be firmly within misdemeanor territory, not a felony, if caught. Plus, bonus points for rubbing one out on a bus or a plane. 2. Props. No, not like whips and chains or a 3-speed vibrating latex butt plug with a swirled contour tip. Those are toys. When I say props, I'm talking about getting some little airplane propellers. Find one that'll fit on your John Thomas and spin it while you spank. Whee! 3. Petting zoo. But that, of course, could lead to crossing that thin and sometimes tempting line over to bestiality. You know, once you've taught a goat to respond to your safe word, you've gone totally too far. Oh, who am I kidding? You're not going to change certain people's addiction to autoerotic asphyxiation. It turns out the choke and wank has been around for quite a while. Over 400 years, in fact. The practice of autoerotic asphyxiation has been documented since the early 17th century. Believe it or not, autoerotic asphyxiation was the original Viagra. Doctors used to prescribe autoerotic asphyxiation to treat erectile dysfunction. How fucked up is that? Apparently, they got the idea from observing public hangings and noting that the dudes doing the rope dancing often developed a boner and, get ready for this, sometimes ejaculated. Granted, the postmortem ejaculation was later discovered to be caused by the way your muscles, including your sphincter, completely go slack after death. By the time doctors thought it could help those foppish gentlemen who found themselves with a case of ye old noodle dick. Ejaculating after you die? How cruel is that? Shit yourself and come in your pants at the same time? A load in the front and one in the back? I say, why not make autoerotic asphyxiation a form of capital punishment? As the guy is up there on the gallows, give him a free hand to unzip himself. Give him one last wank in this lifetime. Come on, if you knew you had 1 minute to live, you'd start jerking off like mad, right? Hell, I'd probably yank mine clean off. And at that point, what's there to live for anyway? Even the nickname for autoerotic asphyxiation sounds dangerous. The kids call it gasping, which ironically is what I call banging a chicken in an iron lung. Hey, don't knock it. Your dick gets super hard inside of a pressurized area. Oh, but I digress. I have 3 questions, though. If you do it in a car, is it autoerotic asphyxiation? If you jack off to photos of a furry aquatic animal, is it autoerotic asphyxiation? Is the Jewish version autoneurotic asphyxiation? You know, where you're not just so much choking yourself as you are just being smothered by your overbearing mother? I think it's a good thing that we have open conversations about autoerotic asphyxiation. You're not going to get people to stop it, so I'm starting to think there's a way to monetize it. I'm going to open up a joint where you can get your autoerotic spank on in the safety of a well-supervised, clean, and discreet location. Don't laugh. Every gasper needs a spotter. Someone you can trust, who's willing to indulge your fetish. Someone to be there with a lifeline in case your chicken choking becomes real choking. A friend who, in case shit goes south, will remove any evidence of what you were really doing before sneaking out of your house. Face it, some of you are one unfortunate and failed escape away from the most embarrassing funeral ever. What is your wife going to say to her book club friends? How does she explain that one to her family? Or to your kids? Sorry, sweetie. Daddy's in heaven with Grandma and Grandpa and that black alligator belt he wrapped around his neck while slapping it to 2 girls, 1 cup. You have to wonder if there's a support group for autoerotic asphyxiation widows. I guess the best thing about knowing someone who has gone to the great spanking ground in the sky is that for the rest of your life, you have a fairly interesting conversation starter. Yes, these are the things I think about. You may not believe it, but autoerotic asphyxiation is starting to go more mainstream. Insurance companies are getting hip to it and now instruct claims adjusters how to differentiate between a suicide and an accidental death due to autoerotic asphyxiation. Step 1. Was there strangulation? Check. Step 2. Is the penis exposed? Possibly chafed? Check. Bingo. You've died of autoerotic asphyxiation. But that's why I'm thinking, for those of you who are despondent and thinking of killing yourself, and no, I'm not going to suggest taking up autoerotic asphyxiation as a reason to go on living. I'm just saying that After you tie that rope around that exposed beam or a doorknob and slip the other end around your neck, just pull your wang out of your pants. That way your family will get a nice fat insurance check. If you're gonna be so fucking selfish, at least think of them. Despite the deep sense of shame they'll feel over how you were found, at least they'll be able to pay off the house and credit cards. Or on the opposite side of the coin. If you really want to fuck with someone, you wait until they die and sneak into their room just before anyone else finds the body and stage it so that it looks like they died of autoerotic asphyxiation while masturbating to a photo of Justin Bieber. Just know that if you were to depart this life due to autoerotic asphyxiation, I don't think you'll go to hell. I believe there's a special part of the afterlife set aside for you called the Eternal Mocking Zone. Or, who knows, maybe you'll get into heaven. I'd like to think that the guy at the gate is a soft spot for masturbators, and maybe that's why everyone calls him St. Peter. Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, fading to black.